Amen, amen. You may be thinking, am I late? No, you're not late. You're right on time. We just wanted to give you a little prelude of what's to come in just a little while. We want to welcome those who are on all of our social media platforms, whether you're on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Be sure to heart, like, share, subscribe there. Do all those things that you need to do to get the word out. You're going to receive a wonderful blessing this morning, even those of you who were not able to be here this morning. Some of you in the hospital, maybe even watching via our social media there. So welcome to all of those. Welcome to our phone live streaming folks. Want to encourage you also to participate in our worship this morning. If you do have access to the church website, I want to encourage you to go to HighlandBaptistChurch.com. It's over under the info tab that you can download the worship bulletin there. So be sure to get that downloaded. You've got the prayer list under that tab also. Children's worship bulletins, those are in the windowsill to my right. If you want to come down and grab those, or if you need to have those there, they're also under that info tab also. And so if you're a guest here this morning, I want to encourage you to pick up one of the guest bags on the sides of the stage at the doors. As you leave, it's just a gift that we want to give to you to say welcome. Thank you for being here with us. And it's just got some information about our church in it. And so I want to encourage you to pick up one of those. If you brought a friend, be sure to get one of them for them also. And then also, I'm going to go ahead and condense all of my announcements into this time because we want to give Mercy's Well as much time as possible. I'll say more about them in a moment. But we have our missionary moment in your bulletin. That's Gary and Ann Warrior. They live and serve in Central Asia. Gary Warrior and his friends meet regularly in Central Asian restaurants discussing their faith in Christ over all kinds of different dishes. With more than 20 years in the region, Gary mentors missionary teams. While staying personally involved in evangelism, discipleship, and church planting. So he and his wife, Anne, desperately encourage you to pray for them, that God would strengthen the believers in Central Asia, give them boldness in their witness, and raise up national leaders for the growing churches. So we want to encourage you to be praying for that. Be praying also about your giving also, as well as your regular offering giving. You can do that online there also. Go to the far right-hand side on our website, click the Give Online tab, easy platform for you to set up and do that. But I also want to encourage you to be praying about giving to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, as that's going to also support the missionary work going on internationally. So be praying about that as you do that online giving. There's a couple of other announcements before we have a word of prayer that I wanted to share with you. Thank you so much for everybody who volunteered this last Monday in getting the shoeboxes packed in the cartons and on to the trucks out there. Where is Terry? She's out there. Okay, so I think somebody told me, and if Jimmy's not in here either, I think somebody told me it was over 12,000 boxes that they were able to put in those. So praise the Lord for that. But we do have another opportunity with Operation Christmas Child coming up. We're partnering with Grace Baptist. They have six slots. I don't know how many of those are left, but they had six slots that you could go to on December the 14th to serve at the processing center down in Atlanta. So you can call the church office. We'll get you connected with that if you want to go to that. Also, for those who have taken the angels from the angel tree out in the foyer, if you have your bags, bring those back by next Sunday so that we can have those ready to give to the Head Start program. All of those angels got taken, so thank you so much for helping with that, those of you who did that, but just wanted to remind you about that coming up. Also, don't forget, we've got the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering Post Office that's out here in the hallways outside the offices there. Go ahead and start bringing your Christmas cards for individuals in the church. You can save some postage that way, but we encourage you to take that money and to bring it and give it to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. So just wanted to make mention of that. You'll hear this again at the end because I wanted to make sure it got mentioned twice, because you'll forget it after I say it, and especially after Mercy's Well comes, is that if you're interested in helping this Friday with the parade, either riding on the float, we want to encourage you to come to this also. I'm going to be meeting right down here at the piano side. If you would be willing to help us to hand out things along the parade route. Meet me down here beside the piano right after the services, just to give you some quick information and send you on your way. But if you could help us with that, we do need some help with people on the floats, as well as people handing out the things that we're handing out. Mercy's Wells here with us this morning. You've received already a wonderful blessing from them. They come all the way from North Carolina to be with us this morning. They don't have another place that they're singing this morning, so we're it, or singing today. This is it. So I want to encourage you to be praying about giving and supporting them. We'll be having a love offering at the end, so I want to encourage our ushers to be sure to be at the doors at the very end for that love offering. Brother Mike is going to come after we have a word of prayer and lead us in a hymn, and then Mercy's Well will come right back up after that. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the blessings that you've given to us. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for this Christmas season, Lord, that we've already begun to enter in. Lord, I just pray for your will to be done in our hearts and lives. Be with those who could not be here with us for many different reasons. We ask, Lord, that you will embrace them in your love, have your hand upon them. Bring those who, Lord, are sick, to bring your healing hand upon them, to bring that touch to them, encourage them, strengthen them in their walk with you. And Father, I pray that as you bring that healing, may it be a witness and testimony to many others around them and in and through their lives. Lord, we pray for our missionaries, Gary and Ann Warrior, who are serving in Central Asia. We ask your blessings upon them. Continue, God, to impress upon our hearts about giving towards the Lottie Moon Christmas offering that supports those international missionaries on the field. And Lord, we just pray that you'll bless everything about our service this morning, bless the message in song that we sing as a congregation, as well as Mercy's Well, and then the message that we'll hear from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Brother Mike.
Good morning, all. As Brad has already mentioned, we've entered into the Christmas season, so we're going to be singing a lot of Christmas songs over the next several weeks. Psalm 98:4 says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth." And of the three songs you've sang this morning, there's lines in it about joy to the world. So that's what we're singing this morning. So your opportunity to stand, praise the Lord, and sing hymn 87, "Joy to the World." Let's go.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their song employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the crowns. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the name prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love.
There's a woman Jake in the middle. My name is Brad. We make up Mercy as well. And we are from Greensboro, North Carolina. You can make us feel welcome if you want to. If we can depart for a second to the other tab, we just finished a brand new album, and we're trying to do all Christmas, but we wanted to do maybe a couple of these songs for you real quick before we get into the last couple of Christmas songs. But this particular album is one of my favorite things we've ever done, and if you like your music a little on the countryside, this is going to be something that you are really going to like. So listen to this brand new song. If I can remember all the words.
Life hasn't always been a bed of roses, and best laid plans, sometimes they go south. Some days the rain comes down in buckets, and the umbrella's back at the house. In a world full of things that I can count on, it's a good thing that I can count on God. He's never not been a good grace giver, never not been my source of hope, never been a promise he can't deliver, cause he's never not been on the throne. He knows what I need before I ask, so I've never been without a prayer. And one thing I know, wherever I go, my God's never not been there. That's the truth, ain't it? Some days I meet him on the mountain, and then some days I stumble over stones. But when I come crawling back, I always find him waiting on the porch to welcome me home. He's never not been a good grace giver, never not been my source of hope, never been a promise he can't deliver, cause he's never not been on the throne. He knows what I need before I ask, so I've never been without a prayer. And one thing I know, wherever I go, my God's never not been there. He's never not been the King of Kings, he's never not been enough. He's never not been a faithful Father, and I've never not been loved. Never not been a good grace giver, never not been my source of hope, never been a promise he can't deliver, cause he's never not been on the throne. He's never not been a good grace giver, never not been my source of hope, never been a promise he can't deliver, cause he's never not been on the throne. He knows what I need before I ask, so I've never been without a prayer. And one thing I know, wherever I go, my God's never not been there. And one thing I know, wherever I go, my God's never not been there. My God's never not been there. No, God's never not been there.
Yeah. Yeah, beautiful. Aren't you thankful God's with us each and every step of this journey? I told folks last weekend, I don't know how people make it without the Lord on their side. I turn to Him constantly for strength, and we need to do that more. A lot of times we as humans think we can handle things on our own. We all go through things in our life that we don't understand why. And this song was sent to us this past year, and when all three of us heard it, we knew that we had to record it. Everything that I've been through back in 2019, so many people here have lost loved ones. People have been through sickness, through cancer. I want to dedicate this song to you because God's going to see us through. Some
Amen. What a wonderful blessing. After we have our invitation and our final announcements, they're going to come back and do one final song for us. So what a blessing they've already been, and what a blessing it is to be here to worship the Lord. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. Some of you may be wondering, we don't have children's church this morning, and so we do still want to implore you, if you can help us in volunteering for children's church. We still need volunteers to help us for children's church, but this morning we don't have children's church, so you'll be here with us in the service. And I won't be too long with our message this morning. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. I'm actually going to read verse 4 and verse 5. Only verse 4 will be on the screen for you. So let's stand as we read God's word in honor of his word. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the word and song that has been sung. And we just ask your blessings upon it. Bless your word, your holy word. And ask, Lord, that you will help us to redeem the time that we have. To realize, Lord, that in the fullness of time, you sent your son, Jesus, Lord, to be born into this world in a lowly manger. To live that perfect sinless life. To die on the cross for our sins. To be buried in that tomb and arise on the third day. But Lord, so that we could have eternal life by trusting in Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. In the fullness of time, you brought us here this morning. And so, Father, I pray we will hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. You know, every day, God gives us the same amount of time to use. Every day, 24 hours. Every day, 1,440 minutes. Every day, 86,400 seconds of time. Nothing is ever carried over on credit from one day to the next. There's no such thing as a 26-hour day. Every day you have precisely determined amount of time. Somebody once said, life is like a coin. You can spend it any way that you want to, but you can only spend it once. One of the most fascinating subjects of all time is that four-letter word, time. We all have the same amount of time. Doesn't matter if you're penniless or you're the richest person in this world, whether you're young or whether you're old, whether you're single or whether you're married, whether you're employed or without a job or a teenager in school or the president of the United States, everybody on the face of this planet has the same amount of time. And most of us feel like there's not enough time in the day. I shared this message, part of this message a little while back here, that in Ecclesiastes, Solomon tells us that there are things in life that we can't control, and time is one of those things. He talks about it like sand flowing through our fingers, that you can't ever get it back. He tells us that there's a time to be born and there's a time to die in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 2. We don't ever have control over the time that we're born or over the time of our death. And yet God, in his timing, in his planning for our life, he knew exactly when we were going to be born, and God knows exactly when you're going to draw your last dying breath. He said in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. That means that nothing that happens outside of the sovereignty of God, outside the control of God. Ecclesiastes says that there's a time that God has for you to enter into this world, and there's a time that God has for you to leave this world. He says also in Ecclesiastes 3 verse 2, there's a time to plant and a time to uproot. So sometimes it's time to put down roots, other time and stay where you are, stay in a job, stay in your position. But then there sometimes comes a time for you to uproot and move on to something else that God has for you. God is in both the planting and in the uprooting of your life. God wants us to enjoy the time that we have and the life that he has given us on this earth. So what the Bible says is to appreciate all of your time. Be content with what you have now and enjoy life to its fullest in Christ Jesus. We have just enough time to do God's will. No more, no less. So let me encourage you to appreciate all the time that you have as a gift from God. You know, time is more important than money. You can print more money, but you can't make more time. When you're 24 hours or your 1,440 minutes or your 86,400 seconds in a day are gone, they are gone forever. They're used up and you cannot get it back. You know, time is one of the most important things that you have. And yet, as we think of time here in this verse, we begin to realize that God does everything in its perfect timing. When we come to the time of this passage, we find a man who, after he met Jesus, after Jesus had already died, after Jesus had been raised from the dead, this man was a Jew, he was a rabbi, he was a one-time hater of everything about Jesus and everything he stood for, and yet he became perhaps the most famous follower of Jesus who ever lived. His name is Paul. Unlike the gospel writers, Paul never alludes to the birth of Jesus Christ, at least in any detail. But even though he doesn't really tell us the story of Christ, he does write about the glory of Christmas. As Paul met Jesus, who radically changed his life in the perfect timing. When you read what he wrote, we can at least understand why a Jewish rabbi would give all that he was to all that Jesus was and would become a firm believer in Jesus Christ and in Christmas. Think about the timing of Christmas today. Think about today. If someone was to come to our country today and wasn't familiar with Christmas and just listening to the music that you hear out on the secular radios, they wouldn't get the idea that this holiday has had anything to do with a little baby boy named Jesus born 2,000 years ago like we've heard in the songs this morning. Go to any neighborhood and you'll see lights and you'll see Santas and you'll see reindeers and snowmen and sleighs. You'll see more of that than you will anything about Jesus. In fact, a survey once was done that showed that fully one half of all Americans celebrate Christmas not as a religious holiday, but more as a secular holiday. When children across America go to bed on Christmas Eve, on that night, the vast majority of them are thinking more about Santa and the North Pole than they are about Jesus and Bethlehem. But know this, if you take Jesus and you take Bethlehem out of the picture, there is no Christmas, nor is there really a need for Christmas. So I want you to know some things about Christmas. It's not the Christmas of Santa Claus, but the Christmas of a Savior. It's not the Christmas of reindeer, it's the Christmas of a Redeemer. It's not the Christmas of the North Pole, it's a Christmas in Bethlehem, because I want us to learn why the birth of this baby was unlike the birth of any other baby before him or after him. That's what we're going to be looking at over these next few weeks. The amazing thing is that we're not really sure in what year or what day Jesus was specifically born. But even though we don't know the exact date of that day, we do know that it was an exactly perfect day. He wasn't born too early, and he wasn't born too late. He was born right on time. Timing is everything. You find that principle all throughout the Bible, and especially in the birth of Jesus Christ. We're not just talking about how he was born, that he was born of a virgin. I mean, have you ever thought about the day when he was born and how special that day was? Why was Jesus born when he was? Why didn't he come much earlier? I mean, look at the Bible. We have this much of the Old Testament back here, of the history of the Old Testament, before you ever get to the New Testament. Why wasn't he born much earlier? Why did God wait at least around a minimum of for thousands and thousands of years before Jesus came on the scene? A man by the name of Paul answers that question with this little statement we just read that you might miss, that you might gloss over. It's kind of one of those speed bumps, if you will, in the Bible that ought to cause you to slow down and think. As we said, Paul doesn't talk much about the birth of Jesus. This is one of the few times he mentions it. And when he does, he tells us something here that is simply incredible. Keep in mind here that Paul wrote these words around 50 to 52 AD, which would be roughly about 20 years after Jesus had been crucified, and about 50 to 55 years after Jesus had been born in that lowly manger. So he's writing this about the time that people who had met Jesus and knew Jesus were still alive. And even though he had never met the physical Jesus, there were enough people who could have corrected him on anything that he might have been mistaken in. And so we come to that passage in Galatians 4:4, and we hear that incredible statement. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. That phrase, fullness of time, is a loaded Greek expression. It talks about something that's complete, something that's fully developed, like taking a ripe apple that's ready to be picked, or a pregnant woman who's ready to deliver her baby. It refers to an appointed moment. So think about it. Why wasn't Jesus born during the days of Isaiah? Why wasn't he born during the days of David or in the days of Ezekiel or Moses? Why was he born on the day that he was born? Here's the incredible truth that we need to hear this morning. This statement is describing the exact moment in history when everything was in place, all the pieces are on the board, everything is perfectly lined up, and when the stage was perfectly set, it was set for God to finally send his Son. Jesus wasn't born 1 hour too early, or 1 hour too late, or even a minute too early, or a minute too late. Paul's telling us here that God had the birth of Jesus planned down to the very exact second on his clock, down to the exact day on his calendar. God had made a divine appointment, and God is never late for his appointments. For thousands of years, the Jews had waited for a Messiah. For thousands of years, we've been waiting for Jesus to come again. But in the perfect timing, he will come. They had been waiting for the Messiah. They had waited on a Savior. But a little over 2,000 years ago, on an exact date in an exact place, God said, "The time is now and the wait is over." You can't really understand just how incredible that truth is until you walk down the road of history and see why this indeed is a perfect time for Jesus to be born. The timing was perfect. Notice the timing was culturally perfect. Read again verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come. Remember, Jesus wasn't born into a world. He was born into an empire. He was born into the Roman Empire. To this day, it's the most powerful empire that's ever existed. The Roman Empire had actually been built on the foundation of the second greatest empire in history, which was the Greek Empire. You go back to 350 years before Jesus was born, the greatest military general who had ever lived was the name of Alexander the Great. He set out to conquer the entire world, and in 12 years, he had done just that. At his side was a Greek philosopher by the name of Aristotle. Aristotle became so influential that the entire world became Greek in its culture, in its philosophy, in its buildings, in its architecture, in its drama and literature and thought. The most important thing that happened was that the world finally adopted one universal language, the Greek language. And after Alexander died, four of his generals, they divided the empire up into four quadrants: North Africa, Europe, Asia, and the Middle East. Greek was made the universal language. In Egypt, around 280 years before Jesus was born, the Hebrew Scriptures were translated into Greek, into a book called the Septuagint, which was the Bible that Jesus and the first disciples preached from in the early church. Then the New Testament began to be written. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they began to write their Gospels. You know what language they wrote it in? Greek. James, Peter, and Paul all wrote their letters in Greek. It was a very common, ordinary language that everybody could speak, everybody could understand. That's why when you read the Apostle Paul and all of his missionary journeys, he never takes a translator along with him. He didn't need to, because everybody spoke the same language. Any Christian could go anywhere in any direction and preach the gospel in a language that everyone could understand. Timing is everything, and the timing was culturally perfect. But also the timing was politically perfect. Look again at verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. When you go back and you look at history, the history of other empires, normally when one country conquers another country, and then another country, and then another country, the more people you conquer, the more territory you have, the harder it gets to maintain stability. Usually empires didn't fall from the outside, they usually fell from the inside. And so the reason why the Roman Empire became so strong for so long is that the Romans were able to develop an economic and political stability that was almost unprecedented. From 27 BC until 180 AD, a period of over 200 years, there's what is known as the Pax Romana, which means the Roman peace. Jesus was born at that time that peace reigned universally across the Roman Empire. The Romans had a god called Janus that they worshiped, which is where we get our name for the month of January from. It was the god of war. When the doors of the temple of Janus were open, it meant that war was going on. When the doors were closed, it meant that there was total peace. When Jesus was born, for only the second time in the history of the Roman Empire, those doors were closed. For 200 years, the church could go anywhere in the Roman Empire. They could preach and teach the good news of Jesus Christ to a world that was basically at peace. Because the empire was at peace, it could devote its manpower, its money, its resources to building an infrastructure. It literally crisscrossed the Roman Empire with roads, some of which some people still travel on to this day. A famous saying even came about, which you probably heard before, all roads lead to Rome, which they did. Under Augustus Caesar, at the very time Jesus was born, they instituted what is literally the first highway patrol ever known to exist. They put soldiers at certain points along the road to ensure the safety of travel. The Romans also initiated the finest postal system that the earth had ever known before. Letters could be written, they could be carried, they could be dispatched all over the world on those known roads that were built in a peaceful atmosphere, in a language that everybody could read. Timing is everything. The timing was culturally perfect. The timing was politically perfect. But here's where I want to close this message this morning and ask you to ponder and to think. The timing was spiritually perfect. Because it says in that verse, in verse 4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law. Verse 5 goes on to say, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. You see, it really wouldn't matter how right things were politically. It wouldn't really matter how right things were culturally if it weren't just perfectly right spiritually. And it was. Jesus was born into what wasn't really the Jewish nation of the Old Testament. First of all, that nation had been divided into two nations, if you remember your biblical history, because of the civil war that broke out between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, the northern kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah, after Solomon left the scene. And then, because of the disobedience of the northern kingdom, they were taken into captivity around 700 BC, the southern kingdom around 500 BC, and the Jewish people were literally dispersed into several different countries throughout what would become known later as the Roman Empire. That dispersion is what we know as is the diaspora. God not only broke the nation, but God broke the hearts of the people. Never again would they follow pagan gods. They went back to their monotheistic roots there, and they began to teach and to preach the God of the Old Testament. And since they could no longer have temples, they built synagogues. Where did Christianity begin? If you know your Bible, you know that everywhere Paul went, he would go into a foreign city, he would go into a foreign country, and where would he always go? First, he would always go to the synagogue. Why? Because he knew in the synagogue there, he would find there a congregation of Jews who were looking for the promised Messiah. God had already made plans for there to be a gospel preaching headquarters in every corner of the Roman Empire centuries before Jesus was ever born. That's why for the first part of Christianity, every new believer came from the Jewish people, because they were prepared and ready for the coming of a Messiah that had been promised for thousands of years earlier. Why was Jesus born on this day? God never acts on a whim. He didn't draw straws. He didn't flip a coin and say, well, I'll choose this day versus that day. Heads, I'll choose the 25th. Tails, I'll choose the 24th. God never says, well, whatever. Jesus was born at the appointed time, in an appointed place, and within a generation after his death, he was worshiped in every foreign country within the Roman Empire. Within 3 centuries, 300 years, his faith was the official religion of the empire. Timing was everything. And God is still in the timing business. The timing was culturally perfect then. It was politically perfect then. It was spiritually perfect then. What we learn in this verse, for every area and every trial of our life and every trouble and for every joy of our lives, is that God is never early and God is never late. He's always on time, but it's his time. Understand this. He's not on Central Standard Time. He's on Eternal Standard Time. And all of history is really his story, all planned out to the year, to the month, to the day, to the week, down to the day. To God, time means nothing, but timing means everything. Here's what I want to leave you with. In the fullness of time, God sent his son. There was an exact time Jesus was to be born. There was an exact time when Jesus was to die. There was an exact time when he would be raised from the dead. There was an exact time when he would ascend into the heavens. And one day, there's an exact time when the trumpet's going to sound and Jesus is coming again. Here's what I want to say to you this morning. There's an exact time for some of you here this morning that you've never placed your faith and your trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. There's an exact time for you to put your faith in Jesus. And the Bible says that that time is now. Today is the day of salvation, because timing is everything. You're here as a believer this morning. Timing's everything. You don't get those opportunities back that you had this past Thanksgiving week that you could have shared the gospel with someone. You could have been an example of Jesus Christ to someone. Those moments are gone. All you have is this day and this moment you're living in. You're not even promised tomorrow. Make the most of the time that you do have, because in the fullness of time, God brought you here this morning, this day, at this moment, to hear this word. He has a plan for you, and he wants you to share the gospel with a lost and dying world that is looking for a Savior. Jesus is the one who came in the fullness of time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this message and for your word, that in your perfect timing, Lord, we would have wanted it sooner. We would have maybe wanted it later. We would have wanted it on our schedule. Lord, sometimes as we're facing troubles and trials in our life, we want you to act in a certain way at a certain time. Lord, timing is everything for you. Help us, Lord, to come to the place to trust you with whatever trouble, with whatever trial we may be going through, with whatever joys we may be experiencing. Father, there are some who are here who may have never trusted by faith in Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. And so, Father, I pray this morning that they would come by faith and receive Jesus. Lord, that they would surrender their heart to you and say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I know this is the time that I need to be saved. Lord, I pray that as they come in this invitation, Lord, may they surrender their heart. May they come to faith in Christ. And Lord, I pray that you'll set them on the road to discipleship, to follow you all the days of their life. But Lord, for the many of us who are here this morning, we have an opportunity unlike any other opportunity that we'll ever have to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, especially in these days. Help us to make Jesus known to the people around us and to the nations of the world. And may you be glorified and honored in our lives this morning, in your perfect timing, in the fullness of time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand? Would you sing our hymn of invitation with us? As the Lord lays on your heart, would you come? Would you stand? Would you sing, Brother Mike? Number 320. Is going to come and share our announcements, and after he shares our announcements, then Mercy's Well is going to come and close us out in a song, and then he'll have a word of prayer after that. But just wanted to remind you about the love offering. The ushers will be at the doors with the plate, so be sure to give to support Mercy's Well's ministry. So, Brother Roger.
I'll tell you what, that's some great singing.
Amen.
I told Brother Jack if he needed any help, the fourth person up here to let me know, but he never said anything. Some announcements this morning. I see Matt's got an announcement, and I think there's one other one. Step aside.
Just want to remind you, if you are interested in helping out with a car show fundraiser next year, meet this afternoon in the fellowship hall at 3:00. Thank you.
I think it's Brittany.
Good morning. The Constitution and Bylaws Committee is ready to present our first set of changes to the Constitution and Bylaws. For those that are members, I have a set of changes that we will be voting on our next business meeting in 2 weeks, which is the 15th of December. So I will be over here in front of the organ at the end of service. If you would like to come get a copy, please get one per family so that you guys can review the changes before our next meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. The announcements I have is that we remember Gordon Jackson. He usually sits over on this side over here. Not been here for a while, but he's having some pretty rough medical issues. Want to keep these people in prayer. And Ben Murray, visited with him Friday, and he was very upbeat. He's still upbeat, but he's fixing to have a bypass times three. So keep him in your prayers. I think they're looking at Tuesday for that procedure. See, Miss Nancy Ritchie,
She's a member of our church, but they moved down to Florida to be with her daughter. She had some surgery, pretty rough surgery. I think it was brain surgery. So keep them in your prayers as well. Miss Johnny Barnes, I think she's due for a procedure this coming Tuesday, I think, or Wednesday, I don't remember which. But anyways, keep her in your prayers as well. And just want to thank you for the answered prayers that that you give us each and every day from our Lord Jesus. Don't forget the Primetimers is coming Tuesday the 10th. And Brother Jim has asked that if you want to participate in the Christmas coming up for the float and the parade, to meet him down here by the piano after the service is over. And so I'll leave it up to you guys, and then we'll dismiss after they finish their songs.
Before we get into the last few seconds of this with prayer and dismissal, I'd love for you to come by our table and take something home with you. Just pay for it first, if you don't mind. We would really appreciate that. We've got three Christmas CDs. I don't think we've ever done Christmas music here at in Tullahoma, so we wanted to get as many of these as we could in today. Three different ones are 15 each. You buy any three for 30, so they're buy two, get one free. We also have our brand new one called Oceans of Grace. Brand spanking new, and the two songs we did for you earlier on that one. We also have that one available in a USB thumb drive by itself if you don't have a CD player in the car anymore. Great way to listen to it. Also have vinyl coming on that. And if demand holds, we'll have eight tracks by first of the year.
but then again, maybe not. CDs, I mentioned, they're 15 each, buy two, get one free. After that, they're $10 a piece, so stock up. Great way to do Christmas gifts. We have a new Christmas shirt. What does that one say on it? I'm trying to remember. Christmas Begins with Christ. It's got the, what do they call that red plaid? It has a name. What do they call that? A what? Oh, yeah, that, whatever they said. We got that back there. It's the front and the back shirt and various sizes. We also have, I wanted to do that song that we just did because I kind of came up with this t-shirt design because of this song. And it's, that one right there. It says Heaven and Nature Singing. And we got that in a hoodie. We've got it in a long tee. And we got a few in a crew neck as well. And then we have a new Mercy's Well shirt that kind of goes along with our new album. A lot of people have been loving those. Also has a mug as well. That's just an extension of our ministry. I'm sorry for the commercial, but it's the way we buy, it's the way we buy diesel fuel, folks. And we did find some cheap diesel fuel at Bucky's yesterday. I was so excited. I hadn't seen diesel fuel that cheap in quite some time. So we just appreciate what you're going to do in the offering, as Pastor Jim's already said. And also, come by and visit with us. We'd love for you to take some stuff home with you. And that just helps to keep us going. And we appreciate you guys are one of the friendliest churches that we go to each and every year. And I mean that. And Greg's going to mention something.
And real quick, I know that you guys do so much with missions, and we so appreciate that. So many churches we go into they sit on checking accounts, and that's not what the Lord calls us to do. He calls us to go out, to reach those. And for over 12 years, we've been ambassadors for Compassion International. And on our table, you'll find little packets like this. We, as a ministry, sponsor four kids. And what that means, we give up a meal out one time a month, and that little bit of money goes to drastically alter the course of a life. I don't know how many years I've been on a missions trip, but if you go to a third world country, you will come back a changed person. We are so blessed. Even, we have needs here in the United States, but even on our worst day here, we are so blessed. We saw kids in Haiti digging through trash. I went to India back in the mid-90s. Just a whole different world. And unlike any organization out there, Compassion is an amazing thing because you get to build a relationship with your child. You become part of their family. They become part of yours. We have a dear pastor friend of ours in North Carolina. He was one of the first people that helped us sponsor. And he got a little girl. And for all these years he sponsored, on Christmas and birthdays, they'll ask if you want to send a little extra money. Totally optional. He did. He got a letter back in the mail from his little girl a month later. She said, Pastor Kevin, you will never believe what I bought with that $25 you sent. Now, in her country, I think it was, I'm trying to remember where she was at, it was a lot of money.
Bolivia, I think.
Yeah, Bolivia. She wrote back and said, we bought a goat. Now, we laugh about that here, but in her country, that goat was a life-giving source. Cheese, you name it. And she said, everyone will walk out the door and see that goat. I think of you and your family, and I pray for you. That's what this ministry is all about. Compassion gives us 20 packets every month to find sponsors for. If you've always wanted to do something, we have young families stop by, and they'll let their kids write letters and draw pictures. Stop by, pick up a packet this morning and start your journey with your child. We were able to meet one of ours in Haiti. I'm telling you, it is life-altering what you can do for them and what they can do for you. As our thank you this morning, we'll give you any CD that we have on the table. It's not a lot, but it's our way of saying thank you for making a difference in a little child's day.
God bless you.
Well, I tell you, I enjoyed every time you guys come. It's fantastic. Really appreciate it. You know, back in 2019-20, the pandemic began to ravage through our country and changed the way of our life, changed the whole world. You know, we didn't want to shake hands with anybody. We didn't want to be close to anybody. It was coughing. And we even segregated our seating to separate everyone and rightfully so, because there were people that didn't make it through the pandemic. There was people that still are affected. But I'd like to ask you to stand before we close in prayer, if you don't mind, if you can. And just turn to the one next to you or in front or behind you and say good morning if you're a visitor here. And I know we have some here. We're glad that you're here. But don't take too long to do this because we want to move along. Okay. You don't have to shake hands and get carried away and all that, so. I'm sorry, Brother Jim. Okay. We'll go ahead and close in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joyful time that we've had. We thank you for your son, Jesus. The little baby laying in this nativity over here is what Christmas is all about. And Father, we just ask you to lead and guide in our lives. We ask you, Lord, to be with those that are having surgery, those that have had surgery and answered a prayer that have come. We thank you for those times. We ask you to lead and guide in our lives. Be with us as we come and go from this place. We ask you to forgive us where we have failed you so many times. We thank you again, Lord, for this church, Brother Jim, his family, Mike, and Brother Matt. And we're just so thankful for so many things that you've given us that we just don't realize. We ask you now to go with us, be with us, keep us safe, return us tonight. In your name we pray. Amen.